through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
From sea to sea. Wait a minute. No. Hello, hello, привет, добрый день. Фауака, хуяна, фанта. Аллоа, оле, джамбо, ассалам алейкум. So, керес, бонжорно, алло, джавач, зрасти, добру, тро, добр вечер, добрый день. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever. I am your host, the Right Reverend Dr. Dr. Rowe. And you're listening to Reality Extraction Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Oh, yeah, today is the 14th day of January 2021. It's about 1700 hours. It's about 5 o'clock on the West Coast behind enemy lines here on the oh-so-fertile ground of California. Yes, that's right, here in the Bay Area. It is listener-supported, this radio station, revolution.radio, freedomslips.com. We are working on lots of technical issues. I told him not to call between 5 and 7. And so what does he do? He waits till 5 o'clock. I'm sorry. It's going to have to wait. These people. Anyway. So, we're done. Are we done ringing? Yes. Good. We're listener supported. We're working on a lot of technical issues at the station. So, if you can hear me and you... All right. Well, is this another call? Is this somebody else? What is this now? I'm just waiting for the neighbor to start up his little air blower right outside my window. What else can... What? Somebody going to come knock on my door now? Huh? Are we going to have a SWAT raid? Better look out the window. All right. As I was saying, working on a lot of technical issues. If you're in the sound of my voice and maybe you have on certain devices problems getting the players to work or whatnot, check the HTTP part. Here comes another call. All right, I'll tell you what. Let me take this stupid call because they're just going to bother me all day. I'll be right back. La Pepine, La Pepine, Les Francs. La Pepine, La Pepine, Les Francs. La Pepine, I think we're ready here. Let me go ahead and where the hell was I? Welcome to the show. What else can just interrupt everything? Jeez. Let me find this here. All right. We're listener supported. As I was saying, if you have any problems getting the players to work, we're working on technical issues. So, instead of HTTPS, you might want to put in HTTP:// and then revolution.radio or HTTP:// freedomslips.com. Also, the chat room is separate. We don't own the chat room. There is a standalone version that does not have the players on the page. However, because of technical weirdness with the pages, some people have a better time using the chat room standalone and opening a separate window for the players. So you can go to the chat room at chatsy.com/freedomslips. Then you can open up another tab and use the players. Also, on the top of the page in the Chatsy chat room is a little bulletin board. It starts with the words, click here for direct stream links. If you click there, you will see all of the information about where you can listen to both studios, the web pages, the standalone link, how to donate. Should hopefully answer most questions, because I know it's a little bit confusing. And we are still working on Studio A. Some technical issues. I've actually worked on it many hours today. I was looking at the system and what's going on. And I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to say computer technical stuff. Okay? And you know how that can go. So we're listener supported. We thank you all for any donations that you might make. Thank you to the Patreon patriots and the folks out there, because we don't take any corporate sponsors, donations. None of us have a salary. We don't get paid. It's all volunteer, which means we do it from the heart. And while we may not all get along and some of us disagree with each other, we do all have our own opinions. And most of the time we try to be respectful. Every once in a while one of us slips on a banana peel, but that's okay. That's okay. I've done it too. Suffice to say, welcome to Thursday. Also have on the line one of our old family members, the Hijacker, and he's always got some interesting stuff to say. So I am going to shut up now, and I'm going to let Hijacker take it away.
Yeah, Mr. Rowe. So we've been spending about 10 years now on the radio trying to get to the top of the mountain. And so we just crest the ridge. We got our last pieces of the puzzle. And so who is at the center of all this? You know, why we couldn't understand the way things went. And we just look back and just trying to figure it out. And so we get to the top of the mountain, we crest it, and we see 8 war pigs dressed in black robes with devil's horns. They're called the General Joint Chief of Staff.
Yeah, I was looking at those guys. They got a new one. This Space Force guy is one of those guys, too. Go ahead.
Yep, he joined. He was number 8. So, yeah, they basically signed the death warrant for the American Republic. We actually know the guys who actually signed the document that killed it.
Let me ask you a question. You know who Stephen Pachenik is, right?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw this couple of posts. You got Pachenik, and also you got, who's the other guy?
The McInturney or whatever his name is, a general.
Right, who believe that Trump's going to stay in power, the last two posts.
Yeah, Stephen Pachenik on yesterday's Alex Jones said that he addressed that. Because Alex was basically all, what the hell? And he's all, no, Biden will be arrested on Inauguration Day. Pelosi's going to jail. They're all, he's like doubling down. Which kind of had Mr. Jones a little bit in disbelief. But Pachenik, you know, kind of made the note. He says, you know, I'm a nice guy, but what do you know? This nice guy, you know, took down the Khmer Rouge without firing a shot. And he's all, who predicted this, that, and the other thing? And when they got to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he says, yeah, well, they're just, I forget exact words, but he was making a note that they're basically actors. They're basically placeholders. They're the public face, and that the real string pullers already have made the decision. And you know, we've heard people talk about we're watching, quote unquote, a movie, which I was kind of playing in my head. Like, wouldn't that be weird if these people turned out to be actors? And then at the very end, they're like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, and playing Mike Pence, you know, Johnny Blah, and, you know, as Nancy Pelosi, we had, you know, Sarah Carter or whatever. And the real, you know, Nancy is in jail right now. I mean, of course, it's probably not going to play out like that. But you, Jacker, are you convinced that the Joint Chiefs of Staff here is the final word, that we're not going to see an arrest, that Biden is actually going to be allowed? Because, you know, I find it hard to believe what Pachenik said. And it really looks like, you know, the way history is folded out and how things have that we've all been shafted, and Joe Biden and Kamala are going to waltz right into the White House. And then I start thinking about all of the evidence and all of the things that have been going on. You know, it's just,
It's
Well, when you stop and you take a look at how much stuff that has happened, people openly committing crime, Biden openly confessing to, you know, basically bribery, quo pro. You know, at first, when I saw the Joint Chiefs of Staff memorandum, I thought it was to the flag officers. And so I would have believed what Pechenik, you know, his scenario. Oh, I see. It's just a head fake. It's the art of war, deception, which any good strategist, they rely heavily on deception. But the problem here, Mr. Rowe, is that that letter, that memorandum, went to every member of the United States military.
Right.
Everyone. And so to have eight guys of that caliber openly lie and commit sedition and, you know, to deceive the entire military like that, that's a bridge too far. I think it's the real McCoy.
There's one of two things. They're either really sure of themselves, like, hey, we got this in the bag. There's nobody's going to stop us. We got every judge. They're really sure of themselves. Or they are scared shitless. And they're trying a last-ditch effort to say, let's just get this out. So, you know, the last bluff that, you know, when the orders come down, that the soldiers are going to have that doubt in their head. Like, am I going to listen to my commanding officer or his commanding officer or, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff? And maybe this little game of checkers, if you will, jumping on top of each other is going to go all the way to the top. Because ultimately, who's the commander-in-chief? The president of the United States. So you might have the president say one thing and then the Joint Chiefs of Staff say another and then the, you know, commandant say something else. And then, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but based on President Trump's demeanor, these last couple of speeches he's given, one in the White House and one down in San Antonio in southern Texas along the wall.
Very reserved, you know, very mellow.
They've done his reverse speech on both of them, and he's basically congruent. And also Jael, which is Ivanka, that's her. Lubavitch name or whatever.
Jael.
Her and Jared, they bought a $30 million lot, just a building lot in southern Florida. Really exclusive place in Florida. The lot itself cost $30 million. No building on it or nothing. They were going to build. And the people of the country club, which are part of that little community lot of basically rich people, they basically disinvited them and says, you know, we're not going to give you a membership. So now they're stuck with a $30 million lot they bought, and they're not allowed to be, you know, they don't get the golf course. They don't get the country club. They're shunned. So,
I don't know how long these kinds of like, you know, blacklists of everybody on everything can continue. I think this stuff has got to come to a head. And, you know, I see what you're saying, and I understand, because I was asking the same questions, like these governors, whether it's governors, mayors, or whoever, are doing everything that they normally, you would say these people never get away with this, but they are. They're locking you down. They're arresting people for this, that, the other thing. But at the same time, there is interesting things going on. Now, Pechenik also said this is Sun Tzu. You know, this is the art of war. It's going to be very quiet. And there have been emergency actions being taken place. I think, what was it, New Mexico or Arizona, I forget, is on a declaration of emergency. Apparently, an emergency went out in Ontario, Canada. Stay-at-home order is in effect, only leave home for essential purposes. So that just went out earlier today. And parts of Italy are on lockdown. You know, the Italian government is on the verge of collapse. And it's supposed to fall. Maybe it's fallen already. I guess this could be a head fake. And, you know, if this is complete and total game changer, these people, if they were double agents, let's say Pechenik and these folks were just Pied Pipers to lead us into a state of apathy or whatnot, thinking that, oh, everything's going to be okay, like a lot of people think this whole Q stuff is, so that people don't do anything, or even Alex Jones or whatnot, are all just double agents. Then, well, you know, that's that's it, right? But I don't think that's the case. I think there's too much of a resistance that has been building. Apparently, this is something that is decades in the works, this takedown. This is something that there are, I forget how many generals he said, but I think it was since Kennedy, the assassination, when there was a coup. That was a coup. Okay, a lot of people will agree upon that. However you think the Kennedy assassination occurred, it was a coup. A lot of people think that was because of the gold standard going against the Federal Reserve. I tend to agree. So Kennedy was taken out, and a bunch of patriots in the old America, the Kennedy America, that were generals, got together and they said, we've got to make a rule, the golden rule. I may be a little off here, but it's basically the 20 generals rule, that there will always be a group of 20 generals that will hold fast to the Constitution and try to plan and restore the Republic the way it was, no matter how long it took. And this, since then, has been their plan. It's not the same 20 generals, but when one leaves, another one comes in. And there's always 20 generals, whether they're on duty or off active military, 20 big high-ranking patriot generals. And these are the guys, and I think that's what Trump said when he came in. He said, I have 20 generals behind me. And a lot of people didn't really know what that meant. They thought, well, okay, he's with the military, yeah. And, you know, in a civilian government, in our civilian government, with a lot of civilian oversight. I mean, the NSA, the DIA, a lot of these are, they switch back and forth. They have military commanders and they have civilian commanders, even the Pentagon stuff. So these people are easier to compromise, a civilian, because there's more privacy, because there's less discipline, there's less regiment, there's no chain of command per se. Now, in the military, and high-ranking intelligence, that's why military intelligence trumps everything. That's why military has the number one authorization in all airspace. They no matter what, period, globally, military is number one. And they are very difficult to compromise without being caught because of some of these factors of them being very regimented. They're very, disciplined in their actions, not just the people, but just the way things are done.
Here's the problem is that, okay, Kennedy, 63, mm-hmm. So that's about 40, 50, almost close to 60 years. You know, if they were going to move, wouldn't they move right after 9/11 and they realized that that was an inside job, you know, after thousands of our soldiers got ate up in Afghanistan?
It's a good question. I would only speculate that the answer would be that they weren't ready. That they didn't have the person they needed in the White House at 9/11. They didn't have a branch of the government. Right now, they got the executive branch. The president of the United States is the executive branch in and of himself. He's the third branch of government. One guy. This is the beauty of our system. And then you, of course, have the other two branches of government, the legislative, which is Congress and the House, or Congress and the Senate, excuse me. And then you also have the Supreme Court. Which is the other branch. So it, at that time, during 9/11, all three branches were probably compromised, and the military couldn't go it alone. So they needed someone. And by at that time, Trump was already on board. He was already on board back then. This plan was going before him. He came along, was the person they needed, was the missing piece of this plan. They finally got a guy. Now, if we can get this guy in the White House, we've got that branch. We'll go ahead and roll with it. Because,
right. Well, Mr. Rowe, wouldn't you think that they would move right now? I mean, an election that was ripped.
They are moving. Absolutely, and they are. It's going down now. It is happening now. I've looked into this myself. I've gone back and forth. I've had my doubts. I've had every emotion in the book. And I've come to the conclusion that even though I'm not sure, my energy is that, yes, that it is going down. I'm not going to say trust the plan, even though I just said it. But there is a plan. There is a plan that's been in the works. I don't believe that
you know, the United States doesn't have anybody in the shadows in high-ranking places that are patriots that are just going to let this happen. I do believe the 20 generals are there. And there's,
yeah, but I mean, wouldn't they have been manifested in the Joint Chiefs of Staff?
Maybe not. You know, they'd probably be manifested in, because the Joint Chiefs of Staffs are paper pushers. You know, they probably would be manifested in other areas where they're closer to the mechanism, you know, where they're a more of a liaison between the paper pushers, Pentagon, Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the regular, you know, military guys.
So like base commanders, generals at base command, like yeah. 40, supposedly Trump's got 40 base commander generals that are behind.
Maybe it's 40. It might be 40 generals. It might actually be 40 general, the 40 general rule. But yeah, I do believe that. And I think that this, it's an all or nothing, of course. And they're not just doing this to restore the Republic of the United States, but they need to have that strong enough to look outwardly at the rest of the world and say, are you going to come and mess with us? You know, and are you with us in this? Are they? I think that it looks like they've already taken care of many international pieces of this. You know, remember when they hung all those guys upside down in Saudi Arabia, when they took toppled that government, decapitated the government of Saudi Arabia?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's been a few key things that have occurred recently. I can't really cite one, but I think that this has been slowly moving like a methodical juggernaut. Not a juggernaut that's running really fast, a juggernaut that's running really slow, just walking. It's a walking juggernaut. That they see it coming, there's nothing you can do, and the steamroller is going to roll over you at 5 miles an hour. And you're just going to have to stand there and let it crush you. So that's my gut feeling, you know, just aggregating all of the little things that I see. That it got really close. We got to maybe 85, 90% of corruption across the globe, probably. And it's taken this long to, you know, rectify that.
Yeah, what I'm saying, they got the NSA, you know, they got the cell phone records, emails from all these different generals.
Yep.
They're going to know who they are. They would have weeded them out. Obama did his purge.
Wait a minute. Not if the generals are the ones that are in charge of the ones that have all of the information, you see. Who's got the data? Is it's not the bad guys that have got the good guys' data, but maybe a little bit. It's also the good guys, quote unquote, that got the bad guys' number. Again, remember, military intelligence trumps everything. Military intelligence above NSA. It's actually Fort George G. Meade is where NSA is. It's a military base, and they're sitting right next to them in the chairs. Is military guys. They're not. Yeah, they don't have any way to get above that. And with the right guys in the right places, it's just, I believe, a matter of time. I think we're about to see the crescendo. You know, but Pachenik kind of sealed the deal for me, just the way he said it, his mannerisms and all that, because he is pretty credible. You know, that guy has toppled governments. That guy has wrote the Tom Clancy books. That's the real deal right there. And some of the other information cooperating with what his data is, or his info, his drops, if you will, are saying, plus just little stories that are going on around the world. Yeah, I think that if I had to speculate, you know, I think that China and the globalists, China started this with their little COVID crap. Remember all those videos with the Chinese are locking everybody up and doing all
that. Oh, that's how they got us. That's how they got us. Yeah. They actually got us. They actually got the alternative truth community believing it with these incredible videos coming out of China. We took the bait. The poison came into the body politic. And then once they just, you know, decided to go worldwide with the COVID, the seeds were already there. And so in a way, we're the ones that planted them.
Yeah.
And I believed it at first, too. And I still think there might be something weird. But beside the point is, you know, the world has to be allowed to see the... You know, I've often said, let tyranny rear its ugly head, and I had no idea. But I've said on previous shows, before even this COVID crap, that, you know, the only way that America and the majority of people that are not, quote unquote, really awake, that are not seeing the tyranny, that don't understand, they're just like in the Kool-Aid, the only way they're going to actually realize that their government is not out for them is let tyranny rear its ugly head. Is that the government has to get so corrupt, it has to be so obvious that an idiot would be able to see it with their eyes closed. And that's what I think is being allowed to happen, is they're letting these governors go off. They're letting these heads of state do their things. They're letting the tyranny come out and, like, let the lockdowns happen. Let them show the police beating up these people. Unfortunately, some people are going to get hurt, because the rest of the world has to realize that here's your choice. Is this the road you want to go down? And you see, we can fix it. We're about to. So when we do...
Okay, so let me ask you, at what point do you finally say, okay, I give up? When Joe Biden is inaugurated and then President Trump is on his final flight to, let's say, Israel, and Biden is sworn in, everybody claps, he takes the oath. At that point, do you... Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, at that point, yeah, there has to be a point where even I'm going to go, okay, that's it. I really, you know, if it doesn't manifest, you know, and I have to realize that I was wrong and that this world really is fucked up, excuse me, you know, I'll go off air. I will probably do a final farewell. And, you know, I don't want to think about that. But, yeah, it would probably be if Biden walks into the White House, if he's allowed to cross that threshold, and just boom, and there's no arrest, there's no, you know, and I guess it might have to go a little bit further. It might have to be the very first political implementation of, like, Biden making the first signature on a piece of paper, and they're like, there is the executive order, all the cameras all, you know, like they do their little thing on TV. Okay, and he's holding it up. See, everyone, I just signed it. That's it. That'll be my swan song.
Well, they're going to do that. They're going to have one of those things ready the first day.
I know. So, you know, I'm thinking, here's what I'm thinking is going to happen. I know it's going to sound crazy, but this is what I'm manifesting in my head, is as fantastic as it is going to sound, that on the 20th, on Inauguration Day, something's going to occur. It may not be an arrest on stage or anything like that. Something is going to happen where Biden will not be inaugurated. Something will occur. Now, it might be, I'd love it if it was an arrest. I'd love it if they were right up there and he was putting his hand on the little Bible and raising his other hand, and they just swooped right in. I would probably have an orgasm, sorry. But no, I think something's going to occur. I just feel it in my bones. I think it's going to be something unexpected. Now, the other thing also is, I don't know if you people follow the freedom_slips Twitter. If you look on some of the posts, there's one post of supposed Norwegian meteors, a meteor or two that went down in Norway. And one of them is a video, and it doesn't, to me, it doesn't look like a meteor. It looks like a bullet from space, a rod from God. I'm just saying that's what it looks like. It might be a meteor. You go take a look and you be the judge, because there have been reports that rods from God will be used on certain areas where they won't hurt the population, where there are underground bases. Norway in the north and, you know, some of the remote areas would certainly qualify. So there might be some noises, things that go bump in the night in the next few weeks. And while, you know.
Okay, well, let's play it out, Mr. Rowe. Right now, the whole world, especially the American population, at least the majority of it, all are expecting Biden to get in. Mm-hmm. He's got his administration. He's got Yellen, who can speak Federal Reserve Babylonianese language type stuff. You can see Bitcoin, the people that are in Bitcoin. It's gone through the roof.
Oh, yeah, I got a story about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, my kid just, he thanked me the other day because he bought it when it was close to 19, but it had dropped down. And I think it was like, might have hit 40 or something.
That's 39,500 right now.
Right. So you got those people. They don't seem to think that Trump's going to get in. They're starting to panic. Everybody's starting to panic. And you got everybody expecting Biden is going to be sworn in on the 20th. Now, let's say you're right. Let's say, you know, on the morning of the 20th, like a big terrorist bomb goes off. And it's been reported that Harris and Biden has been killed. But because President Trump is in Mar-a-Lago, he survived it. And so he's flying back to Washington to resume the presidency because there's no clear line of, you know, he was never sworn in, so to speak. And, you know, technically, President Trump was still the president. How do you think that's going to go down with all these millennials and these leftists?
Well, I don't think that that I think that if a bomb did go off, it wouldn't be something that would probably take out Biden and Kamala. It would be something from the other side to create a distraction and target, you know, Trump. I don't think they would succeed because Trump has a big bubble around him of security. We're talking, you know, Trump's got security with, you know, satellites that can detect the type of gas you have in your car and your blood type from space. So they're not going to get something that close to him, I don't believe. And I used to stand next to these kinds of satellites. Okay, so that bubble is there. But that's not to say that they're not going to try to make a distraction where they might, you know, set something off or try to – that could cause, you know, everybody to look
the
other way.
But I'm saying politically, how do you tell people at the last minute – that Trump is going to be the next president?
I think they have to have, there has to be a drop of evidence. There has to be, at this point, even if they came out and said right now, a lot of the people would never go for that. So there has to be more evidence to come out. You've got to have videos or something, you know, you've got to have confessions. You would have to have a presentation of some sort that we haven't seen yet to sway more of the public to go, whoa, because already we have a lot of people that even voted for Biden legitimately that said, no, I voted for him. And then I found out about this Hunter crap. And now I wish I hadn't. I want to take my vote back. So, you know, that's why there's such a big blackout on the news or news on social media on everything. They don't want this information to come out. By the way, everybody should look up lokinet.org, L-O-K-I-N-E-T, lokinet.org. It's a blockchain-based system that allows you to get censorship-resistant websites. They've got a total, you know, blackout on mainstream, which is now state-run news. Everybody knows what happened to Twitter. Funny, even countries like Germany and Australia, which are not exactly the most freedom-loving countries right now, have condemned Twitter's actions, saying, what the hell are you doing censoring the president of the United States? You know, you've gone mad. And at the same time, Twitter comes out and saying, well, you know, they were complaining because Uganda and their elections and Twitter, you know, it was complete hypocrisy. So this kind of effery that's going on is just getting more rampant. And right now, Jacker, I think you would agree that since a year ago, a lot more people have come on board seeing the truth, going, wait a minute, you know, we're all being played here. People that were normally, I watch CNN, I get my news from the Wall Street Journal, you know, well, I'm on the pulse. I got my hand on the pulse. Well, you do, huh? And now they're realizing, well, maybe I don't.
Just the very fact that we had historic elections, I mean, even if you take the numbers that they say people that showed up, 80 million for Biden, 75 million for Trump, give or take a million. Even that shows a massive awakening. So at the very least, you know, at least on the Republican Trump side, you're talking 80, 100 million people have definitely woken up. Right. But with that being said, we're now, what, you're an internet, you're an IT guy. So if you would actually give the age of the internet, you know, like when the public actually had, you know, access to it, you know, that would be like year one, you know, that happened in like 1992 or whatever, all the way up to 2020. So how old would you say the internet is? 25 years old? 26?
In that context?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been around since, you know, double that. But, yeah, in that context where a public person, you know, would be able to get on and just pay a fee to a provider or something, yeah, 95-ish. Yeah, early 90s.
The AOL is
right.
Right around there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So you think about it. So the internet's all grown up, 26-year-old young man. Everybody's had access to it, who wanted to have access to it all the way up until the last year. Pretty much, you would agree, Mr. Rowe, we saw all kinds of stuff. I mean, we saw dragons flying in Thailand. We saw raptors in New Guinea, 1931 film and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We've seen, you know, early footage of Nephilim, you know, 8-10 foot guys walking among the people. I mean, so you know, all the information that you could have got, or any kind of conspiracy you could have found out about. So anybody that's what basically was going to wake up, you would agree, pretty much has, right?
Yeah, except for the very last stragglers, yeah.
Yeah. And even the young, there's like 12-year-old boys that know who you are, Mr. Rowe. They're following you. They can talk Bitcoin better than you can. So that's what I'm saying. If it's all done now, so if something was going to manifest and happen, it would have to be right now.
Yes, and you know, they put an extra. Well, there's now at least 20,000 troops in Washington D.C. alone. Now, let me ask you. Do Trump supporters, and realistically, do Trump supporters have a history of violence?
No. Everybody knows what Trump supporters are.
Right. Okay. Now, that being said, 20,000 troops in Washington, D.C., they say, are there to keep the peace because the Trump supporters are going to be angry. Or is it that when the coin flips and people find out that Biden is not president, that they might descend on Washington, D.C., and that's why the 20,000 troops are there. Because these troops, you know, in a state of emergency, though the commander-in-chief is Donald Trump, in a state of emergency, these troops are federalized, whether they're National Guard or active military. They're all under the same guy, and that's the President of the United States.
Yeah, I've heard that theory, that the troops are there because it is going to flip. And people are going to become enraged and want to do what they tried to do in the White House, which Milley never called out the National Guard. But I've also heard another reason. Basically, I think this is a Cuvian type of universe, is that the 20,000 troops are there to lock it down and not let anybody leave. And they're going to go from, you know, basically mansion to mansion, you know, Northwest D.C., Embassy Row, and they're going to round up the pedophiles, the key FBI agents, CIA agents, and they're going to basically lock it down like in Iraq, in which you can't move more than a couple blocks before there's a roadblock. Nobody's getting in and out, and that's going to be the big roundup. So that was it. That's the other flip of the coin. Have you heard that one?
You know, I have not heard that exact scenario. No, but I could see that being sure. I mean, it's anything's possible. We're actually what they call behind the moon right now. We're in unknown territory. You know, we've just the continued suspense that we've had for months on end collectively.
It's been like a roller coaster. And I mean, when the roller coaster drops, it's not on the tracks. It's just kind of falling, and there's a little rail under it. It's free falling, and then cuts down and then loops, and you do a triple loop. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm wore out. I got big sags under my eyes. I've aged. Hair's falling out.
One decision, I got to tell you this story about Bitcoin and COVID. You know, earlier this year, Bitcoin was way down. And then COVID came. They locked everybody up, right? And they said, okay, here in California, the governor's like, we're going to get a moratorium for all the people that can't pay. Now, with me, rent wasn't an issue, but it would, let's say, you know, the PG&E electric bill, the gas and electric bill, that they wouldn't be able to shut you off if you didn't pay. And they don't charge a late fee or anything. So I just decided to be strategic. I decide not to pay my utilities. So I didn't pay any of them. And for months and months and months, they stacked up, and I waited and waited. And I said to myself, if Bitcoin ever gets to 40,000, I will cash out whatever I need and pay off all of those past due, you know, utilities. And lo and behold, if Bitcoin didn't hit 40,000, and so that's the one decision I made. The same amount, if I would have paid all my bills, I would have had to cash out, like, you know, point whatever Bitcoin over and over when it was low. Instead, you wait and it goes way up, and you just pay it all off at once, and the same amount of point whatever Bitcoin just one time is now covering, you know, what it would have taken 10 times to do.
So. Oh, I see. So, Mr. Rowe, what you did, that was smart. You took the money that you would have paid the utilities, you dumped it in Bitcoin, speculating that it would shoot the moon. So, damn, you hit.
Yeah. So that's the one thing I did correctly this year. I mean, but yeah, it is a gamble. But yeah, and so here we are with everything's coming to a head. You know, we've got this election, we've got the cryptocurrencies.
Mr. Rowe, you didn't pay all those bills, did you?
Not yet.
No. Well, don't. You give you give them 10%, and then, like, you know, like the Jews do, you say, okay, let's argue over the next 90%. And then it's like my dad, he always walked around when he was a small business person with a pocket full of money, and different employees would hit him up, you know, can I get something, Pete? And he would always call him, he would call it piecing them off. You know, he would roll out and says, yeah, I owe you 500. Here's a couple hundred. Just check with me in just a couple of days. I'll have the rest. And he would always do that. I mean, he would walk around with like gobs of money. But No, you need to piece them off now. Now you torment utility companies.
Yeah, and here's another one. Is I don't have any credit card debt, but I forgot that I did use my credit card for something. And then I forgot that I had used it, and I didn't pay that, right? So I totally forgot about it. And then I started getting calls from a collection agency. And one day I was angry because I just listened to a bunch of crap that, you know, has been going on with COVID. And I was just, you know, you listen to the radio too much, you get really pissed off sometimes. And so I pick up the phone, and they're like the collection agency, like, you know, we're blah, blah, blah. And they asked for me by name. And I said, oh, no, he's got the COVID. And he's got the COVID. OK, it's killing everything. And they're like, oh, he's got COVID. Oh, and then I hear them type something. Oh, God. And they're like, OK, thank you. Sorry. Click. And they never call back. So I don't know. I got some note somewhere.
No, you use the Jedi mind trick. Those people, you got to realize they live in like little gopher cubby holes, you know, and they're completely inundated with CNN and everything else. So they actually believe the stuff. So as soon as you use the word COVID, it was like something out of the Stepford Wives. They just snap up and go, oh, COVID.
Yeah. You gotta be strategic when you can.
But I would, on those utility bills, Mr. Rowe, it'd be like pulling teeth. I'd go 10%, and then they call next week and they say, well, let's talk about it. Well, you're going to get a letter from our lawyer, and we're going to cut you off. He says, okay, well, can you take 200? I can get you 200 tomorrow. I mean, I would just bleed them. I would just bleed. I mean, I would make it a game. I mean,
I'll be on the phone. I'll be like, well, let's see. I guess I can't eat food if I can't cook it. You know, it's like, well, instead of going to get food, I guess I can give you $200.
I'll eat next week.
Right. And then when you get somebody that call in and they're hitting with a bill, you just say, you know, if I need to talk to you later, my grandmother just died of COVID. Can I talk to you later? I mean, I would just have a wonderful time with them.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that we're going to have a quote unquote happy ending. You know, I heard that when the information comes out that people are going to be jumping up and down for joy, screaming at the top of their lungs, that it's going to flip all the people. I've heard that it's, you know, people say, well, JFK is going to come out and he's actually alive. And what else? General Flynn is going to be the new vice president. And JFK is going to be on tour. Now, think about this. I guess here's a scenario. If John F. Kennedy Jr., who's no longer Jr., did actually come out, and we're like, and he's part of this thing, and he starts giving, like, let's say, doing rallies, like Trump, and General Flynn and Trump become president, vice president, do you think just the fact that JFK is alive, coming out, corroborating information.
Think about JFK, Mr. Rowe. Okay, so when did he supposedly get killed in his plane, where he were blown up or whatever happened to him?
When Hillary was going to become, Hillary wanted that seat for the Senate.
Right, that was going to be 90 or 2002? When was it?
I don't remember, but because I was living in Europe at the time.
Right. So just hang with me here. So this guy's now 20 years older. Most people don't know who he is. His face, I mean, you compare what I look like now to when I was 50. You can still tell I'm the same person, but still I've gotten older. These last 10 years have been really, really hard. Mm-hmm. So most people are not going to recognize him or know who he is. So
I think enough people would, though, and it would pick. It's just like, for example, what if Princess Di popped out of nowhere? You know, a lot of people would be like, well, you know, who is this or whatever, even if they didn't know. And then once they got caught up on it, they'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, especially if they had a backstory to go with it. You know, if JFK comes out, he's got, you know, a whole bunch of information. And
then you've got the airwaves. You know, who controls the airwaves? That means that President Trump would have to be able to take control.
Yes.
Right. Go ahead.
Now, the airwaves can be taken control of. There's actually something. They've actually talked about it, and it has to do with the Aikun. It's called Project Odin, and I've heard a few people mention it. That all I can say is it's supposed to be a way that will allow communications that cannot be interrupted. I might be totally wrong, but that's the gist of what I get. Also, the president, even if there is no projects somewhere, the president can take over the infrastructure in a national emergency. I mean, he takes care over the emergency broadcast. He can take care all the cable. He can actually nationalize the entire infrastructure, like the electric companies and the gas and everything. The telephones. He could literally make every phone ring and have a pre-recorded call that it just dials you up on a ring on an old dial phone. You pick it up. Hello, a message from the president. Blah, 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 blah. The technology is already in place. So when they really want to get some information out, they could. It's just, you know, there's so many facades going on right now. Like, for example, do you believe that the White House, or not the White House, the Capitol building was legitimately overrun, quote unquote? You know, obviously we saw the videos where they're basically letting them kind of walk on in, and there was a few little tiny pockets of instigators, right, to make it so that the cameras could catch a few folks dressed up fighting with police, right? And then all of a sudden,
I caught that. Yeah.
Right. So the optics make it look like, you know, if you cut and paste things together, oh, look, fight, and now all these people in the Capitol. Oh, it was a siege. But actually, if the Capitol Police and all that wanted to keep that secure. You know very well they could have. You know that they had all kinds of methods at their disposal. And people said, well, there's a giant crowd of people. Yeah, all those Trump supporters, they're not going to fight the police. They're not going to storm the Capitol. I could see there was confusion in a lot of those people's faces, because when they did allow the people to walk into the Capitol, a lot of them were like, and there was actually people pushing people like, let's go, come on. You get the crowd moving. But
well, I actually heard the technology is so high. I actually heard, the active denial system.
Mm-hmm.
I heard, and that's basically you got an MRAP with this like microwave dish on it, and you point it and it disperses crowds. I heard that they actually have a backpack one that's handheld. So the guy has, I don't know if it's batteries or whatever in the backpack, like a megaphone, except it's a dish. It's handheld. He can walk in a room, point in any direction he wants, and everybody's going to haul ass.
Yes.
I heard they got there's like if the Capitol Hill police wanted to stop anybody, no brainer.
Yeah. So yeah. That's all for optics. And right now, we keep hearing that this is, I have a hard time believing that it's quote unquote movie and that these people are actors. Some people say they are. Like, what, you're saying Nancy Pelosi, the woman that we see as her, is an actor? Because I've heard that, and I don't believe that. That people are saying, well, no, she was arrested at this time, and the Pope is now, the Pope, actually, I do believe the Pope is dead, because I've seen two or three videos, and he's a hologram, and he changes his opacity, and he pops in and out, and he glitches. The Pope's freaking whatever. He's no longer the Pope. But, some of these other folks, like, you see him up there, and they're like, oh, no, that's an actor. I don't know. Maybe, because I think that there are people that are playing multiple roles. Like we had a host, Ed Chiarini, Dallas Goldbug, talks about that. Now, whether they're actually the same person or they're getting a little bit out there, clones or something, I want everybody to go to Google Images right now. Go to Google Images and put in Alexandria Occasional Cortex, or actually, how do you say her name? AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And then put in Heba, Abedin. Now, who is Heba Abedin? Heba Abedin is Huma's sister. You can actually put in Huma's sister, Huma Abedin's sister. Who is Huma Abedin? Huma Abedin was the woman that was the aide to Hillary Clinton. You remember that dark-haired woman that was always at Hillary Clinton's side? That's Huma Abedin. She was married to that guy that showed off his stuff, the congressman who was disgraced. I forget his name.
Wiener?
Yeah, Wiener. She was married to him, and they got divorced. Well, her sister, Heba, if you look at pictures, looks pretty much exactly like Alexandria Cortez. Now, there are some photos where the face looks like she might have gotten a nose job, like there's older photos. And then there's others where you see the eyes and everything is a spot-on match. If you didn't know and you saw the picture, you'd say, hey, where's AOC? No, that's not AOC. Is it? I don't know. The question I have is, AOC, is that the same person and she was trained to be somebody else? Is that a clone? Is it a sister? I have no idea, but there's something funky going on. There's not, it's not coincidentally a freaking doppelganger. That is, I'm trying my best not to use the F word. a doppelganger. No, I think there's some effery going on in the halls of Washington, so I don't know if they're actors. I don't know how. I think maybe some are. I think there's kind of a hybrid thing going on here. Are they shape changers? Do we have a mix of these kinds of folks? Probably. I know that there's an entire different species called the There's Homo sapiens, and then there's, I can't remember, but this banker woman talks about them. I'll remember them later. And these folks show up at banking meetings and things, and they usually have skulls that are a little bit bigger or oddly shaped, but they're good at disguising themselves, and most of them never pop out in public anyway. But yeah, non-human or folks that have access to different types of technology. I don't know. Now, has everybody done that? Have you all Googled Heba Abedin, and do you see what I'm talking about? And are there any comments?
No, you're getting into the kind of the esoteric, but no, I've seen enough footage. There seems to be reptilian type people. You can see the diamond type eyes. You can see sometimes when lights are cut off, the eyes light up. You can see people with elongated skull, like in that movie V, that one girl that, you know, shaves her head and everything. There's one scene where they catch her, and I mean, her, the back of her skull is like an Anunnaki. And I thought, wow, you know, actually caught that. There's so much stuff once you, but they're cleaning it all up now, Mr. Rowe. They're getting everything now. They're censoring everything. But no, I know what you're talking about. People with long necks, longer necks than normal.
Yeah.
I've seen all kinds of. So it could be that we're being played. It could be that this is, looks like we're in purgatory, the seventh level of hell, and you know we're in this matrix. So,
and the species, by the way, thanks to 719 out there, Karen Hudez is the banker woman, and Homo capensis as the alternative species that's not Homo sapien. They're Homo capensis, and they're still among us today.
Yeah, and then we can go back, and we even today we hear about the Bigfoot, we hear about the Dogmen. You actually go back into ancient writings. Zen, you know, he wrote a book about, you know, or a chapter about an island that some of the first apostles went to. And they were like, it was an island of dog men type people. Then you've gotten real stories from, you know, different people that you heard. I told my wife this, she got so upset. She says, you should have never put that in my head. But this one story, it was in the late 1930s, early 40s, right at the World War II. And it was back in one of the hollows of West Virginia. And this particular... I think his name is Sage. He lived in a van down by the river. Anyways, he was talking about his mother's aunt was telling Sage Wander, about his aunt and his mother lived in the holler. And this, you know, of course, the men went off to war, and this woman got pregnant, and they knew she was pregnant, and, anyways, so she got close, and she was sending one of the country boys to hike over to the next holler to get, you know, so that she can get on the mule. She was a midwife to come out, and they came out, and this big, big black dog came out on the porch, and then finally the boy was able to get the dog away so the midwife could go in. Anyways, when she had babies, she had a whole litter of babies, and they had... they were four-paddled. They were like dogs with like little tails, but they had like human faces, and they would actually kind of like yelp like a puppy, but like a human. They would talk like a baby. And it says it made her, this woman, so mad, this midwife, because she was really like a strong Christian, that she just took everything in her power not to kill this woman. Because she realizes that she was mating with this big black dog. So anyways, she says, we cannot, you know, let this these things cannot grow. We cannot let them happen. And the woman that had him says, yeah, just do what you want. Anyways, the woman put him in like a sack, all these little puppy humans in a sack, and threw them in a river. And that was the end of that. But anyways, we hear lots of these stories coming across like everywhere. Too much of it, too much smoke. Not to be at least some fire.
Exactly. I mean, we haven't really seen any fire, nothing. It's all been one way. It looks like, you know, if we're looking at this, and anybody that isn't dialed into alternative media
is convinced that, you know, the reality tunnel is Joe Biden's going to be the next president. And right now we've got Trump supporters are not just the losers. They're domestic terrorists. And, you know, they're making lists. And we've got lockdowns going on. And we have, you know, folks, I mean, Biden's already said he's going to take the guns and we're all going to get vaccines and we're all going to wear masks forever. And China this and blah, blah, blah. Everybody's being allowed to see this because we can't it can't be interrupted, because even if someone were to come along right now and interrupt all this without, like I said, some sort of presentation of extra convincing evidence, a huge, I don't know, a large proportion of the population is probably going to possibly revolt. Now,
yeah, well, no, here's the thing. Just to let you know from a Christian perspective. So we've seen the white horse. So this is what the sort of the what you would call the fundies, like the fundamentalist Christians or the Christians, what they see is that the white horse has come out with the crown, the corona, conquering and to conquer. And we've watched that where 186 nations basically were conquered and all went into lockdown willfully. The next horse is the fire red horse. Some people believe that it's communism. Other people say, well, no, it's just the one that sits on the fire red horse takes peace from the earth. So we can actually see that if Biden does become president and we go down this dark road, there's going to be gunfire. There's going to be violence. It says the red horse takes peace from the earth so that men kill one another.
Well,
go ahead.
The flip side of, you know, nothing. The flip side of, let's say, Trump becoming, it would be worse if Biden becomes president, because a lot of people believe that they have a constitutional patriotic duty to overthrow a tyrannical government. I think that there is enough people in the United States that believe this that would actually take up arms and revolt against what they believe is an illegitimate government, which a lot of people believe that if Biden becomes president, it would be illegitimate. And even though they say, well, no, look, it's following the Constitution. He, like the Joint Chiefs of Staff said with their little warrant, he will be sworn in and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's all a moot point if he cheated and you haven't addressed, well, we collectively, the nation, has not addressed the cheating factor. We've sort of glossed on over it. Everybody, the judges and the courts and everybody said, no, you have no standing. There's no merit to this. Biden's going to be president. Go away. And people feel like they've been spit on and tossed aside. And the question, I guess, is, have they been pacified enough? Has America been pacified enough to just let them walk over us and them and let this occur? Or are they waiting right now, oiling things up, saying, no, we're going to give it time to play out. And if justice isn't served in the proper amount of time, we're going to have to take care of business ourselves. That's an unknown variable. I don't know if America is docilified enough, if there's been enough fluoride in the water to keep common people that will realize that they've had their entire world stolen out from under them. And they are now not only a second class citizen, but maybe even wanted, because they may not even have gone anywhere. They might have made a donation to the wrong political party in the past. And so now their name's on a list. And all of a sudden, they might get cancellation messages. Oh, we can't bank with you. We can't bank with the likes of you. We can't have you. People have already gotten those kinds of messages. You know, now.
The president's got his bank. He's got Deutsche Bank. And the bank Signature Bank and the bank of I forgot, they've locked up 2 and 3 of his accounts in each bank prospectively already. They say the Trump brand name is gone. Nobody wants to work with them anymore. They'll buy his property, but they're going to change the name. So, you're talking. It's already hitting Ivanka. Bought that $30 million lot in Florida, and now they can't join a country club.
Right.
And so, Yeah, no, everybody's going after it. In fact, they're going back, and the honorary degree that Trump's mm-hmm. got from some of these universities, they're pulling, and now the that business school, the Wharton,
yeah. I've seen that. There's like three or four of them that get given honorary degrees right, or whatever. Right. Yeah,
yeah. Looks like you got another guest. Go ahead.
So that's the question is, I mean, and how petty can you be? I mean, why you want to just come to their house and put a bullet in their head? I mean, oh my goodness. Anyway, we've been joined by one of our honored hosts at the station. It is the one and the only, John Wayne. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, I suppose. Just sitting back, watching. Don't quite know what to make of everything, you know. Like I said, analyze. I think we're in the analyze part. And then the act accordingly will follow shortly thereafter.
Yeah, definitely in the analyze part. I don't think anybody in their right mind would say that right now is the time for any sort of drastic action, you know, no matter what side you're on.
But it is kind of weird. This is the first time in history, just talking about all the anomalies we've seen in the last year. This is the first time in history that basically an army are going to be the only ones at a presidential first inaugural.
I mean, yeah.
think about that. That's absolutely incredible. What is that? What's the message of that? Is that, you know, we basically have taken over your government, the deep state, and, you know.
It depends on how it plays out, right? Now, the way I'm praying to God that it plays out, I mean, I'm praying to Father about this, is that that's meant to officially arrest the deep state traitor cabal. But it's all being rolled out under the guise that, oh, it's here to make you safe for them. But in all actuality, this is a full-fledged military arrest of people who have committed high treason upon the country. That's what I'm praying.
I tend to want to agree with that assessment. That's kind of what I'm looking at. Like I said earlier, is, you know, these troops, we're having a national emergency. There's an emergency declared over there as well, I believe. And in an emergency, the commander-in-chief is the president. I don't think that any one governor would want to even, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it depends, I guess, again, which side. If you think you're winning, and if you're one of those governors that think you're winning, you'd be like, yeah, okay. Now, I heard John B. Wells put out a tweet earlier that said that, I don't know if this is true, the Chinese offered to send a couple hundred thousand, 250,000 or whatever, peacekeeping troops to Washington during the inauguration. I was just thinking, you imagine the optics of Chinese military around the inauguration of Joe Biden. I mean, at that point, I would expect that a lot of people would have the attitude of shoot on sight. You know, I'm not saying that anybody should, but I think a lot of people would think that, because that would be too much of a spit in the face.
Well, they're trying to draw it up to a formal engagement, right? And that's what I see they're trying to do. And like I've said for the past month or so now, that people just need to sit back, analyze what's going on, and then act accordingly.
Now, here's something I just thought of, guys. Think about this. We got all these troops, right? 20,000 troops in Washington, D.C. Now, Washington, D.C. is a very small area. In fact, it's the only place in the continental United States that is not a state, right? It's right. Federal territory. Now, what would happen if Joe Biden's inauguration goes through and they're like, okay, you are now the president of Washington, D.C. because the rest of the states have formally left? And
that's pretty amazing.
And you're surrounded by our army, and there you go. And Donald Trump's still president of the rest of the United States, and you, Joe Biden and Kamala, are president of, well, the District of Columbia.
That is very fitting, isn't it? I like that. I haven't thought of that one.
I just thought of that because technically they are quasi-separate, right? I mean, the District of Columbia is the federalized territory. And that's why it's not a state. okay, and the rest of the states are sovereign, you know, technically. And if there was certain reformations of governing issues that may have been done by corrupt individuals, maybe a clean break might be warranted. I don't know. This is just throwing it up there. We're sort of throwing movie ideas around, I guess. It's a script for a movie that we're going to make in 2025.
Well, speaking of a movie, think about the movie of Trump. You know, an outsider comes into, I mean, you'd have to script it like sci-fi, like Dune, you know.
Already did. It's called Mad Max and Beyond Thunderdome. You know, Mad Max is Trump and he's in Thunderdome, man. That's what
I mean, you have to make it like a complex, like in the movie Dune. You got these competing cabals and powers and family bloodlines. And,
oh, yeah, yeah. Esoteric, where you get to see the inside, like, okay, he's part of the Templar group and this and that.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. Well, like
he goes to he goes to Scotland and you see him do his little rite while, and then it pans back to Hillary Clinton in her coven. And they're making their right. Stuff.
Instead of Eyes Wide Shut, Eyes Wide Open.
Yeah. Hey,
I want to see a movie made out of Baron Trump's adventures underground. That ought to be interesting, too. It goes into the hollow earth.
Well, you know, there are quite a bit of talks that the president is in the works of creating a media mogul giant on its own, you know, completely knocking the pedestal out from underneath the mainstream media. It's just going to depend on where everything goes from here, man. I mean, everything is in such a state of flux. It's really amazing to behold, you know. I'm assuming the good guys are winning. You know, I'm going to tell you what, if anybody hasn't heard the interview with General McInerney.
Oh yeah. That's
it's like some formal event and he's just off on this side corridor and you can hear the music playing in the background, like real soft piano music.
Yeah. That's the first one. He's made two, I think, at least. Go ahead.
And I'm going to tell you, man, you listen to this general and his credentials are beyond anything. I mean, it's amazing.
He's a freaking general, man.
Right? And when what he's saying is, "Hey, man, this is an imperative point of time in history, and if good men fail to act, well, then evil will persist, and it's going to be personified."
For all we know, he's one of the 40 generals.
Right. Absolutely.
Right, and we know that 250 flag officers did sign that letter backing Trump. He mentioned that in one of the debates with Biden, as he was also bragging about that he had all the law enforcement endorsements and Biden didn't. But there's another big factor here that we don't take in consideration, that there's supposed to be, you know, the dumb underground bases connected with, you know, mag rail lines and that type of thing.
Yeah, they're there.
Yeah, some people want to say that there's anywhere from 1 billion to 5 billion people that are the below surface world with high technology, deep underground cities and bases. And so we're just the surface world.
Yes.
And that's where the 50 trillion that got ripped off actually went to for these last 50 years was building that out. So it could be that we're only one half of the coin. Go ahead.
Yeah, from what I was told is actually the subterranean realms are actually, it's not like if you go down into a base that connects to another base, not all of them are connected. There's separate networks run by separate, I guess you can call them factions, where, you know, that you have a group of connected underworld cities and then you have another group. It's just like, you know, countries, like, you know, you'd have Spain and then you have France and they're separate in when they, the way they do things, except for certain junctions or borders. So it's, yeah, I've heard that too, that of course we're just the surface dwellers and a lot of the, really interesting high tech stuff is all underground.
And we get these reports of these, the underwater UFOs, Mr. Rowe, help me out.
USOs, unknown
submersible. Yeah, right, USOs. You know, they move faster. Mm-hmm. They move like at 1,000 miles an hour in the deep ocean.
They have, in fact, it's funny because we just posted in a response to Spaced Out Radio, who had a thought of the day from yesterday. And we responded from our Twitter at freedom_slips. They were talking about USOs. And we put up a photo of a mile-wide moving undersea dome. There is an object that has been detected on the ocean floor, and it leaves a trail. It's a mile. This object is a mile wide or a mile in diameter, I should say, and it apparently moves. You can see like a trail from where it's been.
You mean the tracks? That's tracks like a big bulldozer, right? Giant.
Well, it's hard. You can't make it out because it's way down on the ocean floor.
Oh, I've seen tracks. I've seen tracks under the ocean that were thousands of feet wide.
And if you think about it, if you're an ancient civilization that has survived cataclysm after cataclysm after cataclysm and have figured out that the only way to do this is by building and living on the bottom of the ocean, you know, it makes all kinds of sense, right? Because if you're living on the bottom of the ocean, you're acclimated to it. Or let's say, you know, you've got whatever the hell they're residing in, their domiciles, if you will, of which are massive. I mean, the size of like the half a state of Texas. then it's purely plausible that, yes, all the craft that we see have been here for a long time, and that these are, you know, the people that live on the ocean. Mm-hmm. You know, it was this 20,000 leagues under the sea now. Hey, I just wanted to make it clear real quick. I didn't know if you got the voice message I sent to you real quick before you pulled me on with you.
No, I was actually on
air. Okay, so no, I got to get on with Hodges here in about a half an hour. Oh. Well, about probably 10 or 15 minutes, but I'll stick with you until he rings me, so.
Okay, so you're going to be recording, or you're going to go live with him? Or
I think we're going to just do like what we usually do the pre-record, and then he puts it out a day or two later.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I was just looking at some of the headlines here from today and the other days. Texas lawmakers are already considering a secession that if Biden is elected president, Texas says that right now it's 50-50, we may leave the union.
I got some information on that.
Oh, go ahead.
So when they took Texas into the union, they did things by, they were going geographical. And one of the things that Texas got in the clause, if you actually take a look at it, wasn't the succession thing that people say that every 2 years they've got to renew. Mm-hmm. What they had in there is they basically said that Texas, because of its size and its territory, that they could actually break off four other Texases, East, West, South, North Texas, and Central. So right now you got Texas with two senators, but it actually has the capability in their constitution and the agreement they signed with the United States that they can actually break up into four other sections of Texas, which
New Mexico is now, I guess, from what I'd heard, I don't know how long ago this was ordered. I guess not Texas, but New Mexico is under a state of emergency.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that was today. So something is going on, and do we know why they're under a state of emergency? Did they say? What is their? Is it COVID?
Right. You know, I haven't heard, honestly. You know,
let me see if I can find out. New Mexico, state of emergency.
It would probably be COVID. I think I know the governor.
Due to threat of riots and insurrection, it says here. So the governor, Lujan Grisham, declares state of emergency due to the threat of riots and insurrection. Executive order allows Homeland Security emergency manager to coordinate any requests, blah, blah, blah. A fence now stretches around a portion of the roundhouse building in preparation for planned protests. Oh, I guess because supposedly this weekend they want everybody – well, someone is putting out ominous-looking yellow and red communist-style patriotic posters that say people should go to these armed protests. Now, I would not recommend going to an armed protest this weekend in light of everything that's been going on.
no matter what somebody has told you, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, whatever you believe, common sense right now would dictate that this weekend is probably a good weekend just to, for most of us to stay home.
The hell at home. Yes, yeah. You're better off at home. You know, I don't want people, somebody to do something like I've been saying, man, I don't want somebody to go out there and become cannon fodder.
No.
I don't want you to come out there. I don't want you to go out there and get killed for something that's just completely not the right he'll be standing on, man. I mean, because I'm going to tell you what's going to be taking place.
Getting killed, getting imprisoned.
Or imprisoned, right. Well, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to tell you. There, go ahead.
There may be a time when we do want to go out. Now, whatever happens on the 20th, after the 20th, it's your decision. You know, you got to go with your heart, depending on what occurs. Some people, if Biden becomes and they think all is lost, they may want to go do whatever they're going to do. Or it may not happen that way. Maybe Biden won't be inaugurated and some chains of events will occur that we don't even think about right now.
And that's what I think this is all about as well here coming up on this the 20th and this purported threat that the FBI put out saying, hey, you know, all the capitals are going to be under siege. So, you know, just be aware. I think what's going to happen is, you know, that there's going to be groups, provocateurs, and people that are just, you know, heated up and caught up in the mix that are going to exact these same things that took place in D.C. But to what extent, I don't know. But the thing is, look, there was an operation that was carried out there in D.C. to remove intelligence. And I've seen some very extremely telling video that proves that theory is absolutely right. McInerney even said it, that the laptops of Pelosi and other congressional officials were captured. Other things, forms of intelligence is coming out about all this is that private offices that were completely off the record were actually raided as well during this fiasco in D.C. Mm-hmm. So they're going to drop the hammer, man. I think that the president is setting everything up to maintain power because, I mean, look, if he doesn't, he has absolutely and utterly failed his oath of duty to this country.
And they're going to come after him. He's not going to get a chance to run again. They're not going to leave him alone. They want to put him in prison and maybe worse.
No, his only option, in fact, I was listening to a little bit of True News, which, you know, I'm angry with every daggone Christian, so I don't even get me started. But anyways, they said that Trump, basically, he's going to haul ass to Israel. And they say he will do quite well there. All the American Christian Zionists, they're going to want to go do tours in Israel, meet the president.
Trump is going to go to Israel.
Yeah. So he'll have his own industry. He'll be honored among them because the Jews in Israel, they love him. I mean,
you're going to see a whole bunch of people make, what is it, Aliyah? They're all going to become Jews, and they're going to be like, well, we're moving to Israel. Come on, honey. We're Jewish now. Hope you like matzah bread.
But
no extradition treaty.
The true regathering of the tribes, I guess. You know,
Israel's population explodes. That's the reason for the population reduction in America. Is anybody moving?
That's pretty good.
Well, I mean, you know, looking at the flight radar right now for military craft in the sky, it's pretty unprecedented, man. It's for this time of the evening, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird call signs too, like fear, and what was another one? Capture.
Mm-hmm. It's really something else to see because, I mean, this is, like I said, if the president fails to act, he's completely failed in his duties as president of the United States because he has to defend this country. And this country, if you can't see it by now, then you just might as well just stop trying because you're just completely ignorant and blind. That the fact of the matter is that this country is under a full communist coup d'etat.
Right. So if the only way the president can act, because of what the Joint Chiefs of Staff did and those eight generals signing off on that Biden's going to be the next commander in chief, Trump in his last days, like now, he's got to fire the entire eight members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and replace them. That's his only chance, I see, is staying in power.
Well, that as well. But, you know, what's the deal with this impeachment thing? What the hell's going on? I just haven't been paying attention because it's monotonous.
Well, what the idea is, they want to impeach him, to strip him, not only the Secret Service.
Well, yeah, I get this, but I mean, but where is it at? Is he impeached? Because that's what everything's saying. You go to any form of.
But he hasn't been convicted yet. He hasn't been tried in the Senate. Oh. He's got to be. He's impeached in the House. It's like a charge. Like I put you under. I'm a prosecutor, John Wayne. I say, look, you went poaching. You killed that deer. I put an indictment against you. You're going to be in court, and I indict you. That's what's happened. The president has been indicted. He's been impeached. Now it goes to the court. The court, in this case, would be the Senate.
Okay, and then who holds the Senate? It's the Democrats right now because they've stolen everything?
They're going to get 2/3 vote of the senators, which is going to be really tough. Now, McConnell says that he's not going to do anything, which means it should die with this session of Congress.
You know, it's weird.
You
know how everybody says Mike Pence is a traitor. But when they went to, and I was thinking the same thing, especially when they were objecting and he's like, oh, it's not signed by a senator. Oh, well, you know, but when they went and said, hey, 25th Amendment. And he's like, no, that's like, because you would think if Pence was on their side traitor and they wanted to get Trump out, that he would go ahead and do the 25th Amendment, because that would make him president. Technically, he'd become number 46, for a few days. But he didn't. So why didn't Pence do that? Maybe he knew that he'd go down in history as something. I don't know, speculations.
Well, like what I was saying, the ink literally had to touch the paper and dry.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, there's another theory that at the very last day, like on the 19th, President Trump is going to resign. Pence then becomes the 46th president of the United States. He issues Trump a pardon, like what Ford did with Nixon. Mm-hmm. Pence, meanwhile, he gets a bump up in pay, which will be presidential pension pay the rest of his life. And then a day and a half later, he fades away as Biden comes in. So there's one of the possibilities floating out there. And then Trump gets protection by being pardoned by Pence.
I don't see that, because that leaves way too many open things. There's this no addressing of any, if Biden becomes, again, Biden becomes president, I don't think that's going to be allowed to happen. The military hasn't said anything except to Nancy, F you, go away. They're sitting there waiting. So I don't think, I'd have to, I'll make a gentleman's bet. I don't think that Biden will be inaugurated.
I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he has a chance in hell with everything that everybody in this country knows. What all's been revealed. Like I said, if people really want to see the connections and how it boils down to names, dates, monies changed, and all this and that, look up Project Time by Typhoon Investigations. That's it. That's Project Time by Typhoon Investigations.
Well, I would have agreed with you all. Except when the Joint Chief of Staff issued that memorandum, which was basically the death warrant of the American Republic. They sent it to 2.2 million military people. Look, we're going along with his sedition. We know the vote was ripped off. Doesn't matter. We're going to lie to you and said the court system took a look at it. The states had voted. That's a lie. All this stuff is lies.
Got to run. Thanks for having me, Drew.
Oh, okay, John. Take care.
Yeah.
All right.
And so anyways, I'm just thinking, why would they do that? Why would the Joint Chiefs do that, Mr. Rowe? That's why I think it's a done deal. Is that Trump doesn't have the military backing anymore.
No, I personally think they're compromised and they're bluffing, that they see all of the compromised evil folks have successfully been put in place at the very highest levels. And that's why they've been able to maintain control. But now they're losing their grip. and they know that they're sitting in their ivory towers and there's nobody manning the downstairs that are loyal to them anymore. So the last thing that they can do is proclaim their edicts because they have no real force. And it's a desperate move. It is a pay no attention to that man behind the curtain move. That they're telling their troops, you know, no, this is the way things are going to go down. Don't believe what they're going to, because they know what's about to happen. The troops are going to get information from folks that they trust more and know more to say, no, you know, those guys that are telling you that everything's okay and not doing anything, they're corrupt. You see that now, right? All right. Hoorah. Let's go, boys.
Well, yeah, you know, actually, one of the things that all these Joint Chief of Staff generals did see in the Army-Navy game, when Trump came out, that whole stadium erupted.
They stood up. Mm-hmm.
They went around to each person announcing each person's name, whether he was Navy, Army, Marines, you know, whatever he was, you know, and everybody applauded, you know. Of course, the Army guys applauded the Army general, you know, the Navy guys. Then Milley got a pretty good applause. But then when it came around to the last person, President Trump, the commander-in-chief, that place went berserk. And those generals knew that he's got the hearts and minds of the rank-and-file military people and the officers. Because there was officers at that game. That was like West Point against who would be the other, Mr. Rowe. I don't know that stuff.
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to the sports.
Right. Right. But anyways, he's got the hearts and minds of them. And so it's a calculation. He's got the 800,000 members of the American law enforcement power tree. He's got the 20, 30, 40 million vets. He's got the Patriots. He's got the Christians. He's basically got the majority of the Caucasians that are basically armed. So it's a possibility. But when I saw the Joint Chiefs of Staff basically commit treason, I'm thinking, and then I watched his demeanor, I'm thinking, okay, it's over. He didn't have the backing of the military. So I'm hoping you're right that there's a secret hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, I that's what I think. This is a desperate move, and that the Joint Chief of Staff is how many? Eight people? Yeah, eight people, and there's one for each of the armed forces. You know, there's an admiral and a bunch of generals, and then you have the chairman and the vice chairman, and you know, there are a couple extra. So one person for basically each of the branches versus all those other commanding officers, all those other officers and enlisted folks everywhere, like you said, that, you know, understand what's going on. I don't think that that even the Joint Chiefs of Staff can just bark an order or send out a memo and expect that everybody's going to stand down and watch their country be captured without firing a shot.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And I'll predict. You're right. There are many, many layers of flag officers all the way under them. But I'm telling you, what these eight guys did, and I don't know if they knew what they did or not, but they basically signed the death warrant on the American Republic, if it stands. And they've invoked a spiritual judgment against them. I don't think any of them are going to be alive in 24 months. I think cancer's going to get them. I think a car crash, or it might be a heart attack, or it might be other fellow officers fragging them or sniping them down. But I don't think these guys that have actually put their name, how they could be so stupid to sign something like that, an anomaly. Never a document like that. Do you know that, Mr. Rowe? That's never happened?
Yeah.
So I think they signed their own death warrant. I mean, they might have signed the death warrant of the Republic, but I don't
think... Let me ask you this. Do you think that there might be some body of, well, some influence that went to the Joint Chief of Staff and said, this is what you're going to do? Or do you think...
That's Dugay's theory. Dugay's theory thinks it's the ultimate 4D type chess. And I thought, okay, that's a possibility. When I thought only the memorandum was still kind of semi-classified and went to the flag officers, but this damn thing went to every single person in the military. And so how do you openly, I counted at least 10 lies as a, and Millie was the one that wrote that thing. I can tell by his, because I'm a writer. I know about, you know, you certain styles of writing, certain ways of thought, you know, how you organize your thoughts. And so how they could all sign it and then openly lie and openly sign their name to treason. I mean, so that's why I'm thinking, nah, these people are deep state. They had to do it for their Zionist Kabbalah masters. So,
bingo. Yeah, you don't have a position of power at the very top, whether it's a head of state or a head of a military branch in the United States, without being compromised or part of the club, at the very least, you know, part of some sort of secret society or whatnot. You made your bones in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. And in doing so, though, you get your little elite status, but you're also separated from reality on the lower rungs. You're separated from the true groups. You're now, you know, how often do these Joint Chiefs of Staff go to military bases? They go to work in the Pentagon every day? I really don't know. So it's a legitimate question. I have no idea, but I don't think that they spend a lot of time outside the Pentagon in an official capacity. You know, I think that they've got their cush jobs. They go hang out with the president once in a while and do stuff at that level. You know, they dictate policy and delegate to their lowers to say, okay, you know, chief of the army and chief of this and da da da, go and do that. And and they talk to politicians. They're not getting their hands dirty anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what Sergeant Miller said. He goes, just like in the political realm in America, you know, you got the Democrats and you got the Republicans, and then you got factions. You got the rhinos with the Republicans, and you got the hardcore, you know, pro-life Republicans. That he says the same thing is in the military. But I'm telling you, Mr. Rowe, somewhere in the Marines, there's like a lieutenant colonel whose son, you know, joined up and got killed like in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And he's reading this document and he's realizing that these generals are betraying him. Yeah. And he's breaking out his old 50 cal sniper rifle. And he says, he says, I'm going to get that old fart. I'm going to get that son of a gun. I mean, you're not going to stop that. I mean, and that's just multiply that time to about 1,000. And so
these people are detached from reality. It's just like anybody else up there in politics that are detached, that try to do. I mean, whether they're speaking to the soldiers or the people, all of those folks are so far detached that they don't know what their actions, how they really interpret to a lot of the lower level, quote unquote, non-elite common folk. You know, when somebody says something, you know, we look at that in a different way because they just don't know how to relate to the common person. And I think a lot of them think that they can bark an order or give a regulation or make a little statement or warning, and we'll all just, you know, oh, okay. You know, back in the day, these folks used to brainwash people very easily with whatever they'd say on TV. Everybody buy the status quo. I think a lot of these older folks are still in that mindset that the public's easy to win over. That, you know, if you're not elite, you're easily fooled and manipulated. And
yeah,
so
and they watch their fellow generals get contracts with CNN, NBC. And so, yeah, you write their own world.
Yeah, their own little way of doing things. It's a real easy and cush for them.
Cocktail parties, all the rest.
A problem, they throw a little money at it. Somebody makes a statement. The news helps them. Then makes it go away. Da da da. They never have to get their hands dirty or even think too hard, because there's other people doing that, and that's their Achilles heel. You know, they've lost touch with reality, and we're all going, you think we're stupid? We're going to stand here and listen to you? You think we're no, our heads aren't in our asses that far. I mean, come on.
Yeah, the other thing is that, you know what I hope, is that Chris Miller, who's now the acting director of the Secretary of Defense, you know, I hope he does something like poetic and this would be Trump style, where Miller, Secretary of the Defense Department, calls all the chief of staff, all eight of them, to like a meeting. And then he shows up with the special forces and saying, oh, by the way, here's a letter from the president. All of you are relieved of your duties. And basically Trump puts up another slate of, you know, joint chief of staff to fill each one of those eight positions. And, you know, of course, if it was up to me, you know, I'm so angry, I'd take them out the back and just say, you know what? These people all committed treason. Put them against the wall.
You're like what they did to Ceausescu and his wife in Romania.
Yeah. Haven't we been good to you? They put the bullet in the chamber and they go, man, you had to say that. Yeah. You had to say that.
I mean, they got their execution behind the police station. They didn't even, it wasn't formal or anything. We're like, we're going out back, you know, by the fence.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm sure Trump would do it civilized and just take their job. I don't think he would even arrest them. But that would be a coup de, or that'd be a counter coup to a coup de grace. Mm-hmm. So that would be a master stroke, and that would make the whole political establishment stop, especially in D.C. And then the first things they would think about doing is like, they got 20,000 troops here. You think, Frank, we might want to get out of here right now, and then lock it down. And that would be like terror. That would be like demonic terror from the sky, like demonic lightning coming down, darkness. But we can only hope. We got 6 days. We'll see, Mr. Rowe.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the status of, I mean, there's a lot of troops. I just put another, just saw another picture of just troops just rolling in, or a video. And I don't know if Washington, D.C. is actually under a full lockdown, like don't come out of your house. I don't think so. Or if it's a curfew. I think there's a curfew probably, like, you know, 6 p.m. to whenever or something going on. But I don't know if anybody in the chat room knows the status right now of the streets of Washington, D.C. Can you still drive around? You know, are stores still open, or is everything shut and buttoned down? Because I imagine if I was some elite person, maybe I guess there's some folks that have levels in the government that aren't sure what's going to happen, that have just enough touch with, you know, the alternative world and their world to go, wait a minute, things are going both directions. It looks like we're going to win, or are we going to win? Maybe they live in Washington and they're looking outside their plush window at these troops going,
think about it, Mr. Rowe. If you were one of these elite and you looked out your window and you saw, basically National Guard, full battle gear, tacked out, and you think, what's wrong with this picture? Maybe we ought to take the, honey, get the kids, let's go to Martha's Vineyard just for the weekend.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd be a little...
Between whoever these mean people are, all tacked out in these military uniforms, whoever they're getting ready to go up against, I don't think it's really smart for me and you, honey, to be like in the middle. So let's go to the vacation home in the Hamptons.
There you go. Yeah. So this is it. It's all going to be very interesting. One place that, let me actually check. There is, if you go to map.snapchat.com, sometimes you can, they have a global map there and you can zoom in on areas, and they have like a, it's sort of a heat map. So you could see where people have been recently. Nothing too recent for Washington, D.C. The last thing I saw was on Twitter, and it was a video from this afternoon that showed hundreds and hundreds of troops just walking into the Capitol. And there was they made a special point of putting out a news article somewhere in the last couple days that said that the troops will be armed with lethal weapons. So they made a point to say that, and they're not going to have it's going to be lethal weapons. So if you go mess around, you know, you're playing with your life there. They're not messing around. So that's, and so that makes me think, well, not only is it deadly serious, but, you know, if it was for us, in a way and to protect the capital. I don't think they'd really have a lot of lethal weapons like that. I think it would be more like less than lethal, but this is a little different. They're serious. 20,000 troops for an inauguration? They just put that in your head for a moment. 20,000 armed troops. Or are they expecting something we haven't even thought of? You know, did Biden call his buddy Xi Jinping in China? You know, I mean, there's been rumors of troops in Maine and Michigan that are not U.S. troops. And a lot of weird stuff going on. I don't know if you heard a few months back or so about the hokey pokey stuff that was going on in the backwoods of Maine. And they had some explosions and people reported seeing Chinese troops coming through from Canada.
Yeah, well, I saw actual Chinese troops, you know, they were jogging along a road. There must have been 600-700 of them. A guy filmed in his pickup truck up in, Ottawa, I don't know, Canada, Alberta or whatever. But no, we will see. But the proper way for the president to do it is to fire the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That letter is all the sedition, all the treason that he actually needs. There's multiple lies right within that document. They sign their name. And so sort of the reptilian human hybrid way, you know, sort of the pyramidal, you know, corporate way is to say, okay, you overstepped the line. I'm the commander in chief. I'm replacing you. If he does that before the inaugural, then this whole concept of what you're saying, Pechenik and these other people, is a possibility. But right now, it looks like no sooner than President Trump spoke at the Alamo, at the wall in South Texas, and his demeanor, and that right after that, I mean, right after that, within 30 minutes, the Joint Chiefs released that memo. It was very telling. He gave the speech, then they released that memo. So it was like saying, yeah, he's come to heel. He realizes the military is not going to back him. And so, I can only hope I'm wrong. But if I'm not wrong, then it might mean that the red horse of the apocalypse, the one who takes peace from the earth so that men kill each other, because it's going to get violent. Once you start taking people's guns, sticking needles in them, throwing masks over them, showing that basically it's a communist takeover.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dugay was even talking about if Biden does take over, any local little commissar that pokes their head up and says, you know, it's got that butch haircut and says, I'm your mayor and this is what you're going to do. This could get crazy. This could really get crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Well, we are coming up to the end of the show. We've just got a few minutes. So if there's any information.
Mr. O, I appreciate you. You're one of my favorite hosts. I've always had an affinity to you. I am going to take a pretty long, probably permanent. I don't want to say that, but it's going to be a long time. I'm going to sign off on Deacon's show tomorrow night. Tomorrow afternoon. That's Deacon John Liberation Nation, 2 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow. And so outside of something happening, you know, like your scenario, I don't anticipate coming back on the air for quite a long time. This was my last battle, and I knew it always had to end bad. I could only buy so much time in my mind, and I thought one last time, because I had stayed for faithful, and I was actually appealing to the heart of God to pull it out, and for whatever reason, it looks like he has decided to let this thing go down. So I gave it the old, you know, I held my position all the way to the end, but anyways, thanks for having me, Mr. Rowe. I really do appreciate it.
Anytime, man. So we'll see on how things work out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's been an honor, my friend, and best of luck and wishes for all of your endeavors, no matter what you do.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Rowe, and God bless you. Alrighty. Bye bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this evening's show. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. We are out of here. Gotcha. All right, little cigar mouth. All right, little cigar. All right, little cigar.
Listen, Galmar, what